All right, Father, as we come around your word, I pray that you help me. I pray, Lord, today again, in this, as we talk about revival, let it be more than words. Your word says, Father, the kingdom is not just in word, but it's in power. And Lord, we believe for a demonstration of your power today. And everybody said, amen. Praise it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you smell good. Come on. Don't just say you smell. Say you smell good. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, we've read this for the last 2 weeks. I want to read it again. It's the foundational scripture that I want to keep talking about revival. Before there can be a revival, re means go back. You with me here? Revisit something, revival, revival. So you got to have a vival before you have a revival. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you're going to have a revival, it means that which actually needs to be, that which was alive needs to be revived. You have me resuscitate, to put breath back something into something. So a revival means you first would have had to have been alive, but something happened where maybe as life goes on, that freshness, that closeness. I've been in different churches and they say we're having a revival month, and I've never really liked it, because I always feel like to say you're having a revival month, what are you doing every other month? It's like, we just have 1 month of revival? But I think the idea of talking about what a move of God looks like is really important. And I've said this many times, and I want to say it over and over again, that this church and its freshness and its vibrancy doesn't really come from what happens off stage, or frankly, even from the person holding the microphone. But this church, in terms of its freshness, its vibrancy, the life, the atmosphere that is in this service comes to your relationship and my relationship with Jesus. Amen? Your relationship with Jesus, if it's real, if it's ongoing, if it's vibrant, if it's active, then I believe the church, the life of the church actually increases, because we're not depending upon what happens off the stage or what comes out of a microphone. Now, I understand faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So we're here to add to your faith. We're here to provoke your faith. We're here to lift your faith. But it's up to you to make sure your relationship with God, your prayer life, your word life is alive and active and vibrant. And all we do is fan into flame. I know sometimes people come to church and they're needing a word from God, and I believe God does that. I believe sometimes people need to just through life, and life gets tough and they're really challenging hardships, facing hardships and challenging times, that there can be a lifting of your spirit through the worship and the praise, and the church is there for all that. But ultimately, we've got to keep it real and fresh ourselves. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to do that. You got to keep this real. And when you bring that into the house of God, man, it's like throwing a match on gasoline. It explodes. So when we talk about revival, look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, proclaimed the Messiah there. The crowds heard what Philip, and when the crowds rather heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many people, and many people who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was great joy in that city. Today, I talked about in the last 2 weeks, the first week I really talked about in terms of what we want to talk about, what's important in church is prophecy and the whole prophetic area and stir up that gift. And then last week I talked about healing. Jesus didn't just die for your sins, but he died for your sicknesses. It is always the will of God for people to experience healing. Can anybody say amen? All of our online campus, I'm believing God for you as you're watching this service, that God can hear you, heal you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen, church? So here's what I want to talk about today. Impartation. I want to talk about the ministry of laying on of hands. You don't hear a lot about this being taught in church, but let me tell you something. The most defining moment of my life outside of getting saved and giving my life to Jesus was a time in my life. What happened to the musicians? Where'd you all go? Are you still there? Praise the Lord. Last service, I had to shut them down. This service, I got to kick them up. Praise the Lord. But the most defining moment in my life, other than giving my life to Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit, they're probably two of the most powerful things that have ever taken place in my life. But I want to tell you, what's kept me there is this one. I've given my life to Christ. I've received the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what has kept me in church and in ministry and preaching the word of God in season and out of season, whether you're praised or whether you're persecuted, whether you're loved or whether you're despised, is this one. I remember I was about 20 years of age. A guy called, Peter Morrow. Peter Morrow, and I was just a young man just, you know, wanting to serve God. And I remember, man, he would be so anointed that even when he wound his finger up like this, it was anointed. And when he wound his finger up, everybody's faith lifted because you knew something was about to happen. Now, I know when I do it now, you're all looking at me like I'm nuts. I'm just winding my finger. But when he did it, man, I got to tell you, it was anointed. And when he really got through the point, he'd do that. He'd like, and then he'd go, tong. And when he did that, man, and I remember it was in a tent meeting. It was actually in a tent. And what he did was he said, anybody who feels a call to full-time ministry in the terms of pastoring and preaching the word of God, come to the front. And then literally six people came and he said, no one else come now, stop. And he literally said to people who were still trying to come, go back to your seat. You'd be here by now if you knew this is it. Maybe this can be a stirring for you, but right now this is all there is. And there was only six people on the altar, all of which, by the way, are today in full-time ministry still to this day, and that was 34 years ago. And I remember I was the first person that he got to, and I'll never forget what happened. He walked up to me, and I was the first one, and man, he was anointed. Just doing that brought faith into the room. I don't know what it is, but it was like God was on it. You know, God can anoint your idiosyncrasies. God can anoint your individuality. You mean? Well, for him, it was that. And so he walked up to me and he goes, young man, the Spirit of the Lord's upon you. And I'm standing there. And then he laid his hand on me. And I, to this day, haven't really found the ability to put into word what took place that day. But I remember standing there and he laid his hand upon me and I felt the weight of the hand of God. I felt the presence of God. I felt like the Holy Spirit came, like there was a divine moment. It was about like God when he spoke to Moses and called him through the burning bush, and that was Moses' calling. This was my calling. This was the moment when I felt the hand of God to separate me from anything and anybody else that God had called me. And I felt myself shrinking and shrinking. It was like, you know, honey, I shrunk the kids. I felt myself going, God, I'm shrinking. I don't know what was happening, but I guess it's a bit like when David, when he wrote, when I consider man, who is he that you are mindful of him? And I felt, I don't know whether I was shrinking or I was even cognitively even thinking about that Bible verse, but trying to find words to it, that would be the words. Thinking, God, when I consider you, and then I think about me, who am I that you'd even think about me? I think the other thing that was taking place is not that I was shrinking as much as my eyes were being opened to the largeness, the vastness, the expansive who God is. And awesome and big and large and omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. And I think I was becoming aware of just the magnitude of God. And I realized how small I was. But I walked out of there knowing that I was called to preach the word of God. And it's kept me from that day till this day. It was the ministry of laying on of hands. It was a separation to a holy calling that nothing else, no other vocation would ever, ever satisfy me, because I knew what my lane was and what God had called me to. I got to tell you, I believe in the ministry of laying on of hands. And I want to show you in the Bible what it actually looks like. I want to give you the what and the why, and then we're going to pray for people. Is that okay? Come on, I'm trying to build some faith here and you got to work with me. Is anybody, hey, come on. Are you hungry? Are you anticipating? Are you believing God's going to do something this morning? Man, this is Wave Church. And so here's just five things that the Bible talks about. What is the laying on of hands? Number one, it's to bless people. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 16. He took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Now, this verse is in and of itself a random Bible verse. The context of it is the children were being shooed away by the parents, by the adults. Even the disciples were getting in on it. Come on, kids, get away. You know, and Jesus literally stopped them. And he said, bring them to me. And the Bible says that he picked these children up and put them in his arms. And he laid hands on them. And he blessed them. The first reason we lay hands on people is to bless them. And I'm going to ask you a question. Those of you who have younger children, and you don't just have younger children to do this, but how many times have you laid hands on your kids? I remember, I don't mean lay hands discipline, I mean lay hands. I mean, you know, there is that ministry as well. Who believes that ministry is still relevant? I wish more parents did. I know it's not popular preaching, but let me tell you, it's true. Now, I don't believe you should ever discipline a child in your moment of anger. Amen. I don't believe you should ever. But I do believe in the ministry of laying on of hands, of blessing your children. I want you to think about this. When Sharon was pregnant with Alyssa, which was a long time ago, 29 years ago, and I remember, well, when she was pregnant, I used to lay hands on Sharon's belly, and I used to say, Lord, I bless this child. Now, back in those days, we never knew the sex of a child. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, but whatever this baby is, I pray that it's healthy. I thank you, Lord. There's a call of God. Before that, but before we ever laid eyes on that baby, we laid hands on Sharon's belly, blessing that child. And as they began to grow, and as little children, regularly we would lay hands on them and pray for good dreams and a good night's sleep and just bless them. Can I tell you, there's something powerful about the laying on of hands, just to bless your children. And I want to encourage you today. Do you know, I remember my mother, when she got saved, it was later in life, and my sisters were 16 and 15. And some, let's just put it this way, legalistic Bible community group leader started teaching my mother, who's a brand new Christian, that if your children don't obey you, you're to strike them and you're to beat them and you're to discipline them. And this community group leader, my mother's a brand new Christian, walked up to my 16-year-old sister and slapped her and told her she has to go to church. How many know that did not work? And so we got rid of that community group leader, because that is not good counsel when you're talking to a 16-year-old. Come on, that horse has bolted. Amen. But what someone did do, I actually rang the pastor of the church that my parents went to, and I rang the pastor and I told him what the community group leader did and advised my mother to do, that my mother did do, that actually got my sister to leave home at the age of 16. And then the pastor himself came in and ran that Bible study and taught how to pray for your children. And this is what he said: when your children don't go, and this was a large Bible study. My mother had 30 people in the home, and she's the one that opened her house up for the Bible study. He said, this is what you do. Best advice ever given. He said, lay hands on your children's pillow. This is for parents whose children aren't walking with the Lord. He says, you can't, if you haven't raised your children in the house of God and you haven't disciplined them when they're younger, it's too late now. That won't work. And so lay hands on their pillow and pray for dreams of heaven and pray for dreams of blessing. Pray, because their head is going to touch that pillow. So you touch what their head's going to touch. And you pray. And it goes, you know, for my sisters, they used to say to me, even my brother used to say to me, man, we would have these really weird dreams about heaven and hell. They were my mother's prayers. Let them dream about heaven. Let them dream about hell. And they would say one of the things that actually helped get them to a point of faith in Christ was never what my mother did through a stupid Bible study leader that gave them bad advice, but the dreams, really laying on of hands, blessing your children. When was the last time you laid hands on your wife in a non-sexual way? Just blessed them. Oh, you're all very quiet, but I'm serious. When was the last time you just said, Lord, I just thank you for my wife, and you bless them? That's what the laying on of hands is for. It's to bless people. That's what Jesus did with children. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can tell you really like that point. You're just overwhelming me with feedback. But let me tell you something. I believe in this, and I believe you ought to be laying hands on your children, and I believe you ought to be blessing your children, and you better understand the importance of impartation. Just yesterday, I took my grandson to the Virginia Beach Marine Science Museum. It's got too long a name, the aquarium, that's what it was. And so Jax, he's 2.5 years of age, and I went down there with my daughter Alyssa, my granddaughter Lennon, and Jax. And he, every time we went into a place that was dark, Jax has got this newfound fear. And so he would go, "I'm Skipper." He goes, "Skipper, no, I'm scared." So I'd have to pick him up and carry him through these little passageways. And when we saw the sharks, he completely lost it. And I understand he's 2.5 years of age. Self-awareness is kicking in. He's more aware of the environment and what's going on around him. And he's aware of now new dangers and all the rest of it. But I don't want my grandson growing up with that kind of fear. And so I just laid hands on him right there. "Lord, I pray for peace. I pray for faith. I pray for calm. Lord, I'm just blessing Jax, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Lord, he shall not grow up with fear." Come on. Come on, what are you doing? Who are you praying for? Here's the second reason why we lay hands on people. It's for the giving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 17. It says, "Then they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Let me tell you, one of the most powerful things you can do is to be somebody who's had someone lay hands on you that you might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't give what you don't have. There's only 5 occasions in the book of Acts where the Bible records this infilling of the Holy Spirit. And on 2 of the occasions is Acts chapter 2, and the Bible says that nobody had yet received the Holy Spirit. So God supernaturally gave the 120 people in an upper room because there was no one there to lay hands on them. Nobody had it yet. So God had to just give it to the 120. But then right after that, we read in Acts chapter 8, what we just read, where Philip goes down to Samaria, preaches Christ, and then the disciples in Jerusalem hear about what happens in Samaria, and so they sent some disciples down there to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and it was given through the laying on of hands. Come on. Acts chapter 9, the apostle Paul. Ananias comes to Paul's house, and he goes, "Paul, the Lord sent me here that you might receive your sight and you might receive the Holy Spirit." And Paul says, "Bring it on." And Ananias laid his hands upon the apostle Paul, and then the apostle Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, Paul goes up to Ephesus, and he said to these believers, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We haven't heard there be a Holy Spirit." And Paul laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. You can't give what you don't have. And so people say, "Well, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, no one's laying hands on me. He's going to have to give it to me all by myself." Well, what you're saying is you know better than the wisdom and the pattern that's found in the Word of God. If God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you should want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way in which God operates in the New Testament as it teaches how it's given is through the laying on of hands. So you've got to be willing to humble yourself and open yourself up and say, "Lord, I want to receive that gift." And let me tell you, the most powerful gift you'll ever receive in your entire life is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can anybody say amen to that? It's how you build yourself up. It's how you build your faith. It's how you pray a heavenly language that even the devil doesn't understand. Come on, you edify yourself. Come on, it moves you into a supernatural realm. It is powerful. Here's the next reason why in which the laying of hands is important, because it ministers healing. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 40. It says, "While the sun was setting, all those who were sick and various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands upon every one of them, and they were healed." So let me tell you, one of the things you can do to pray for people, you can't give what you don't have. But let me tell you, if you've received the Holy Spirit, there's a gift of healing that you can minister in, and you can lay your hand upon somebody, and the Bible says they will be healed. Come on, somebody get excited. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 18. "And when they come to hear him and healed," and it says, and who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and he was healing them all. Jesus said, "You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Now, I got to tell you, in church, we get you to come to the front and we'll lay hands on you to pray for you. And we'll worship God and we'll create an atmosphere of faith. And let me tell you, God can move to where I am, wherever there are two or more, I'm in the midst. There's something powerful about being in the house of God because we all bring our faith because we're in revival. We're bringing faith to the meeting. Come on, somebody say amen. We are so when people come who are sick, we add our faith to everybody else's faith. One will put 1,000, two shall put 10,000. There's worship. There's the presence of God. It's a great place to lay hands on the sick and believe God to pray the prayer of faith and for them to be healed. But this gift has got to be working outside the church as well. Now, how does that work? Robert, you told me one time we were driving over to Norfolk to visit. Somebody was in hospital, and Robert mentioned to me there was a restaurant owner, I think was your neighbor at the time. And I didn't know this guy at all. I had never met him. Only the fact that I heard about this restaurant that he owned. And I said to Robert, "Well, we're on our way to Norfolk. The restaurant's in Norfolk, and he's got cancer. Let's go pray for him." So I never met the man. He'd never met me. And at the time, I didn't even know he was your neighbor, to tell you the truth. I guess you did, but I didn't connect the dots. And I just walked in there, and Robert said, "Listen, this is Steve Kelly. He's the pastor of the church here, and he'd love to pray for you." And I'll tell you something. I've never had somebody refuse me to pray for them. Never. When somebody's going through a situation, I have never. But if they ever did refuse, I'd still say, "That's cool, but I just want you to know I'll be praying for you anyway. I mean, if you don't allow me to pray for you, I'm not going to force that on you, but you need to know God is real and I'm praying for you regardless." But I've never had anybody say no. He was blown away. He says, "You want to pray for me right now?" I said, "Yeah." Now, here's what you don't do is go, "Okay, let's get a worship tape going and stand up and lift your hands," because these aren't yet people of faith. But what you can do without being weird, I remember I just put my hand on his shoulder when he said yes, and I just put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Father, I thank you that you're a good God. I thank you, Lord, that you love this man. And I just believe in the name of Jesus." And this is what I did. I had my hand on his shoulder. I said, "I just believe, Father." And then I just put my hand on his head and I said that this cancer will leave him. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would heal his body. He was so blown away by that. And obviously, through the witnessing of these guys, you know, he came to church and he was the first person to lift his hand and give his life to Jesus that Sunday. You never know. You just never know. Can I just say to you, I believe that, listen, again, I want you to hear this. You can't give what you don't have. So if you don't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life, you can't give what you don't have. But thank God. And that's how you do it in a way that is supernatural but not weird. You with me here? Just, can I pray for you, man? Can I just believe for you? At work, somebody that's telling you a situation and you can lay hands on them. Here's number three. Listen, everybody say, no, number four is using spiritual gifts. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Come on, Chesapeake, I want to make sure you're still with me. Look at it says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was given to you." Look at this. "Which was given to you when the body of elders laid hands on you." The Bible says, don't neglect this gift. And these are the spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul, through the laying on of hands, gave to Timothy. And here is the Apostle Paul, perhaps nobody greater operating in the gifts of the Spirit than the Apostle Paul, who laid hands on a spiritual son who was the pastor of what was then the New Testament church. And he's going, "Timothy, I'm telling you, I'm watching you, but I see that you've been neglecting the gift that I gave you. I gave you a gift through the laying on of hands." Now, the gifts are the spiritual gifts found in 1 Corinthians 12. There are 9 of them. And here they are. Faith. How many could do with some more faith? I'm going to try that again just to see. Some of you just went. How many could do with some more faith? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, sometimes I tell you, you get so used to good preaching, you just sit there and take it all in. But let me tell you something, you could let the preacher know you're enjoying the preaching as well, in Jesus' name. How many can do with some more faith? Amen? I got to tell you, but you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Timothy's going, Paul's going to Timothy, I'm watching you, Tim. You're a good man. You're pastoring, but don't neglect this gift that I gave you through the laying on of hands. Come on, faith. Healing, miracles. That's what we're going to concentrate on next Sunday, by the way. There's a difference between a healing and a miracle. A healing is physiologically, perhaps emotionally, there's been a healing, a reconciliation between friends and family members or, a relationship. There can be a healing of that. But I believe miracles are things like Jesus turning water into wine. I believe miracles is like the miraculous catch of fish. I think a miracle is when somebody had no limb and a limb grew. That's a miracle. Next Sunday morning, we're believing God for miracles in the house of God. Come on, somebody say amen. They're there. And Paul's looking at Timothy, and Timothy's busy pastoring the church. And he's going, Timothy, I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking you're neglecting something. And if Paul can say that to Timothy, how much more do we need to hear that? Do you know, I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching to you about this one. We got to make sure that we understand. Now, if you want to pray for someone to receive a healing, but you yourself had not received the gifts of the Spirit, how can you pray for somebody? You can have faith in the Word of God, but there's got to be a moment of impartation. You can't give what you don't have. Come on. Matter of fact, look what the Bible says to Timothy. Paul says it again. This is the second letter he's writing to his spiritual son. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that he's giving to you through the laying on of my hands. So here's Paul writing a second letter to Timothy. The first time he's saying, don't neglect it. The second time he's going, come on, fan into flame. Come on, stir it up. Fan it into flame. Come on, breathe on that thing. Come on, stir that gift up. Keep moving in that gift. And I've come to say, listen, if you've already been given the gifts of the Spirit, I'm here to tell you, come on, fan it into flame. Don't neglect it. Don't let it sit down. I'm here to provoke you today. Come on, let's get going. Come on. When was the last time you laid hands on anybody? When was the last time you needed faith and a miracle and a healing? Stir it up. Come on. At work, someone tells you they're sick. Someone tells you the situation. Let's pray. Let's believe in this gift. Let's exercise these things. But here's the last one. It's actually, the laying on of hands is to anoint leaders, to empower people, to separate people for their calling, to anoint leaders. Look at a couple of Bible verses real quick, and we're going to pray. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun. Poor guy, had no sons. Had no father, had no mother. The son of Nun. I thought that was funny myself. A man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands upon him. This is God's plan. God says to Moses, you take this guy, Josh. He's a good man. The Spirit's in him. But I want you to lay your hands on him. And God says, I will take the Spirit which is upon you, and I'll put it on the 70 elders. The Bible, all through the Old Testament, as there is anointing of priests, there was always the laying on of hands. I didn't even talk to you about the laying on of hands for offerings. That's a whole nother Old Testament principle that I didn't even have time to talk about. But it's also this. It's found when God said to Samuel the prophet, he says, take your horn of oil. Look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day forward. Can I tell you? I mean, give me an example. Here's my friend Derek here. Now, Derek, has had a whole athletic career. That's his calling in life. That's what God made him good at. Played baseball for the best baseball team in all the world, the Mets, as a professional baseball. I think it was a AA you played in. And that's what God's called this man to do. And God, now he teaches baseball. He's a coach to people who want to learn how to play baseball. By the way, I hear you're doing very well. Some of the people you're coaching are really getting some amazing opportunities. But can I tell you, God's anointed him to do that. as much he's anointed Reinhard Bonnke to reach Africa. That there is a calling and there is an anointing. There is a laying on of hands to separate him for the ministry which God has called him to, just as much as I'm anointed to pastor and lead this church. Are you hearing me? If you're in business, then that's your calling. And we want to support that. We want to celebrate that. We want to, listen, every one of us are ministers. And God's called you and the world that you're called to reach. I just believe that the laying on of hands is to anoint people for their calling. Come on, somebody say amen. So here's what I want to do. For all the things that we could pray for this morning, I was praying for wisdom, because we can't pray for all those things in any one given service. But I thought today, number one, if you've got the gifts of the Spirit, can I stir you up? By the way, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, today, after this service, we're going to pray for you. And if you're open to it, you've got to be willing to open your spirit. You've got to be willing to receive it. Well, we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray that you've received the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many thank God for that today? If you've not got it yet, you need to have it. I know what it's like to live with it. I know what it's like to live without it. I'd rather live with it than without it. But what I want to do, I want to pray for people this morning in this service who've never, ever received the laying on of hands for the gifts of the Spirit. What are they? A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a discerning of spirits. What are they? There's faith, there's healings, there's miracles. What are they? It's prophecy. It's the ability to pray in that unknown heavenly language. And the last one is the ability to even understand the interpretation of what that is in a church setting. Are you with me here? Where there's spiritual people. And then there's the ability to prophesy. If you've never ever flowed in any one of those nine gifts, you've never had somebody to pray for you that you would even be able to flow in those gifts, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray today, through the laying on of my hands, you will receive an impartation. Are you hearing me? Now, if you flow in these gifts, this is all I'm trying to do. Don't you come forward, because I just want to pray people who've never had this. If you flow on those gifts, or if you used to flow on those gifts, can I tell you, my laying on of hands isn't really going to do a whole lot. You've got to fan in the flame. You've got to not neglect the gift that was given to you that was already given by the laying on of hands. Are you hearing me? That's up to you. I can't do that for you, but I'm here to stir you today to be like the Apostle Paul or Timothy. Come on! But if you've never, ever actually received the laying on of hands to operate and flow in the gifts of the Spirit, can I tell you, I have flown in all nine of these gifts. I am very fluent with every one of them. Anyone tends to actually focus a little more heavily on a couple of gifts more than the others. That would be true of my life as well. But I want to pray for people who've never had the ministry of the laying on of hands. Now, let me tell you something. Whether you stand up, fall over, is irrelevant to me. I don't care. What matters is that you're open and that you're saying, I want to receive an impartation. If you fall over, we'll catch you. If you stand up, you're still getting it. Can you say amen? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to believe God for an impartation. Here's the closing thought as I give this, of this part of this message at least. You've got to understand that you can rule your spirit. You can rule your spirit. You can control whether your spirit's open or closed. Right now, watch this. If you're just like, you know, sitting there and you're just like, I tell you something, your spirit's closed. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, he that can rule his own spirit, listen to this, my God. He who can rule his or her own spirit is greater than he that can take a city. Now, if you can take a city, you're good. If you can take a city, you can change a city, you can lead a city, you can shape a city. You can make a difference in the city. Hannah, you're a person of influence. Are you hearing me? He that can rule his spirit is stronger and greater than he that can rule, than he can take a city. In other words, you can control what your spirit is open to or what it's shut to. This week, I went to the movies with a few friends of mine. I love all the Vince Flynn books. I love that Mitch Rapp person in all the books, and they just made a movie about it. So I went and saw it. Of course, some of the previews of other movies, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I would never in a million years pay money to go see some of the movies they were promoting. Because some of them are just pure fear. There's a new one on Saw or something. I've never seen any one of those movies. But can I tell you something? I grew up with a spirit of fear. And I would never expose my spirit to something that I just, my spirit growls. It still growls. I knew what it was to be bound up with a spirit of fear. I will not expose my spirit to things from whom God has set me free of. Amen. You can rule. People say to me, oh, I just couldn't help it. Just God came on me. Well, then you don't know the Bible. Because if you say, I couldn't help it, God came over me. I just couldn't help it. The Bible says the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. You can rule your spirit. And I want to say today, when you come forward, you're going to rule your spirit. And you can either close it or you can open it. I want to say, open your spirit.